Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from Orlando, Florida, you're listening to the Orlando Magic HQ podcast, the voice of Magic fans. Join us every week for a unique fan perspective on all of the latest Magic news and updates. The show starts now.
What's up, Magic fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Orlando Magic HQ podcast and Close Up Magic podcast with Stephen Cameron. Joining us this week, he couldn't record last week, neither could we, so we decided, hey, why not just do a joint episode to kind of make up for some of that lost time. This episode is brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online. And in today's episode, the season's coming to a close and the Magic are fighting for a home court advantage. I know, it doesn't sound right. It sounds like we're in a different time lapse, time zone, metaverse. We are fighting for a home court advantage. Right now, the Magic's sitting at the fifth seed, but very, very close. Looking into the top four. What's going on, guys? How we doing?
Doing real well, man. I can't complain. You know, little bummed out the last couple of losses, but, you know, we're still sitting in the playoff picture, and this team's real young. I'm feeling good, man. I'm psyched to be talking some Magic basketball with you guys.
Yeah, it's crazy because if we were recording last week, you know, I think that we were just down to one game. But now that we're down two games, it does kind of feel like we're on the downfall. But there's still a lot of things to be excited for. Still a lot of basketball left, and there's still a little fight, a huge amount of fight left in us as we gear up towards the postseason. And we're definitely going to talk a little bit of the ending of the Kings game, the Warriors game, some struggles that we've seen from Wendell, Markel, injuries that the Magic have been dealing with, and then ultimately, who the hell we want to see the Magic play in the postseason. But before we jump into it, just a quick word from our sponsor. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship game. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's Believe, B-L-E-A-V, Magic. Don't forget, Believe Magic, Bet Online, the game starts here. If your bracket is anywhere like mine, it did not look pretty. It didn't look pretty for a lot of people, actually.
It's still got Duke running, but it's a whole lot of other downs right now. Today
I had Duke and North Carolina for the championship game. And all honestly is really because I paid zero attention to college basketball this year.
Same.
Let's be honest, man. If it's not because, you know, there was some fair interest in the NBA draft for the Orlando Magic, that's the only time I paid attention this year. There's no reason to, so I couldn't tell you. I think that I followed more women's college basketball this year than I did men's college basketball. So there's that. Hopefully your bracket looked nothing like mine. And then a quick shout out to our guy Brandon Kravitz, who has his new podcast out. So part of the Believe Podcast Network, if you're looking for more Orlando sports content, not just the Orlando Magic, but UCF, Orlando City Soccer, any of the top stories for Central Florida sports, that any of the locals or anyone that has any interest or investment in Orlando that you care about, man, check out the Zone Heads Orlando podcast with Brandon Kravitz and his crew, who drop about four episodes per week. New to the Believe podcast family, and just really a lot of great content that's out there. If you're a Magic fan, there's a huge chance that you're also following a lot of the local sports as well. So if you want to be able to follow a sports show that has a little bit of everything, Brandon Kravitz got you covered with that. Again, Zone Heads, Orlando podcast. Make sure you check it out.
Also, shout out to Cut, our newest sponsor for the show. Believe Nation, as you all know, we've partnered with Cut, the social betting platform. Cut is a peer-to-peer betting platform that allows you to bet directly against your buddies and other fans. That's right. You can join the Believe Network crew on Cut today. You can bet directly against Al, Ant, myself, on just about anything you want. Sports, pop culture, politics. You know, you can make up your own bets that you want because it's like a peer-to-peer betting platform. It's pretty dope. If I want to say, hey, Al, I think the Magic are going to win 50 games this year, and you say no, I'm like, I think I'm going to bet you $5, but I'm also going to bet you have to shave your facial hair. And Al, what would you take? Would you take the over, the under on that bet right now?
I'll take the under right now.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to play this on Cut right now, which is great. Cut is the ultimate, is the ultimate place to put your money where your mouth is platform. And it's legal here in the states of Florida, you know, in Florida and like so many different states. It's awesome. So check it out. Be sure to follow Cut Bet on all your social media channels and download the app via the App Store or at cut.com. Use the code Believe Magic, BLEAV Magic, for a 10% deposit bonus.
And then let's kind of just jump right into today's episode. So we talked a little bit about you know, this week in review so far since we last recorded. We had 8 games so far. We had a win against the Raptors, 111-96. Win against the Charlotte Hornets, who, man, they are a super cluster. It was just announced that LaMelo Ball is already out for the season. Obviously, not a whole lot of time left of the season, but the fact that he just continues to deal with injuries is very unfortunate for them. But we're not Hornets fans, so we don't care. Win against the Pelicans, which was a really big game. I was in attendance that game, and that game felt like a playoff game. Terrible loss against the Kings. So let's pause right there. Al, I'm going to go to you first. When we talk about the ending of that game, run us through it.
I mean, heading into it, I think we all knew, right? We're facing the Kings. We're in for a crazy game. It seems like that's the case every time we face the Kings the last couple of years. And that's exactly what it was. You know, it was a well-fought game throughout the entire game. Came down really to the final possession. And unfortunately, a very suspect call where Jalen Suggs kind of gave a little love tap to Fox, who took his time falling into the other side of the court, which should have been either a travel or a backward violation. And neither was called. Instead, it was a foul on Jalen Suggs. Ultimately, we ended up losing the game by 1 point. And not only that, but then the refs in the 2-minute report the next day come out and say, hey, by the way, that layup by Cole Anthony, which was an awesome shot to put us ahead, should have also been a foul. We got that wrong. So technically, we had two really tough calls in the final minute of that game that ended up costing the game. We lost by 2 in that one. So it could either been a tie game with the Kings having the ball on their hand, or ultimately, like I said, we should have gotten the ball back with a chance to win the game had they called that call on Fox instead of Jalen Suggs. So a tough loss. Again, we knew the schedule was going to get tougher with the Warriors coming next, then the Clippers. So a tough way to lose that game. Steven, any other thoughts on that particular last minute of that game?
Yeah, you know, the reffing was definitely frustrating during those last couple of minutes, but I also was like just really disappointed on how the Magic attacked those last bits of play. Like in one play, they settled for 3. I think it was that minute that play coming out off the foul, and it's like they settled for 3 3-pointers in one possession where, you know, they didn't attempt to attack the basket and draw contact. You know, it was just, I felt like the reffing was frustrating, but I also felt like the Magic players did not play smart basketball to attempt to try and close that game. So, but man, it's like you said, it seems like every time we play the Kings, it's such a close game. It goes down to the last minute or the game after double overtime. But yeah, just ultimately not able to close the game, not able to play smart regardless of the refs. And it was very frustrating. It was very frustrating loss, even more so frustrating than in some respects the Warriors loss. So yeah, what do you think, Ant?
Yeah, I mean, super frustrating because obviously there was a huge delay from the time because there was a foul, right? Whether you want to call it or you don't want to call it, it was a little petty foul. Like Jalen Suggs nudged De'Aaron Fox a little bit, which caused him to go off balance. Yeah, it wasn't much. Like there wasn't a huge extension of the arm, got him off balance. He was close to the backcourt line. Referee decided not to call it until he saw De'Aaron Fox, obviously, you know, tail over on the back end. But during that period, the part that's frustrating, right, is that there's a decision that needs to be made. You make the call, you don't make the call. Since the decision at the time was not to make the call, because let's be honest, with the game on the line and not much time left on the clock, if you're going to call that foul, you're going to hear it because you don't make that call with the game on the line because it's not a big impact foul. So that part I could understand. If you're going to call it late, you can't ignore the two violations that occurred afterwards, which one, the backcourt, or excuse me, the travel, the backcourt, because his foot was across that line. So the fact that those two were ignored and then the foul call was made is part that frustrated me. If for that, I would have rather you just called the petty foul. But this is one of those things where, you know, we can't allow to leave the game in the hands of the Kings and the refs, right? We got to be able to we need to have more control. Exactly. Now, I will say the bright spot of that game was Jonathan Isaac. The fact that Jonathan Isaac just went absolutely bananas was amazing to see. One, because we know that Jonathan Isaac is that guy. We've been waiting for that explosion to kind of happen. We've seen spurts of it because his minutes have been pretty limited. And even these 25 points that match his career high, he was able to do that in 23 minutes. So it's not like he's playing extended crazy minutes for it. But this is somebody that, in my opinion, especially with the struggles of Wendell Carter, I mean, he's starting to get more and more comfortable playing in that fifth spot role. I honestly, not that I wouldn't be surprised, because I think that if there was more trust that he can be healthy long term, then, you know, I think that he would have got that starting spot a long time ago. But because we're trying to still utilize him in a cautious manner, I don't think that will happen, especially so late into the season. But Jonathan Isaac, man, he is the dude is special, man. And I think that for what we have him for, I can see a world where the Magic, you know, obviously keep Jonathan Isaac on a long-term basis with definitely still some protections and something that makes sense for both parties. But I'm excited because there's going to be a time for that conversation. But I'm excited to see, you know, how this postseason ultimately gets to with how Jonathan Isaac is playing. Like if Jonathan Isaac is able to flip the switch offensively now, man, I think that whoever it is that we're going to face in the first round is going to be scary.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you have two of them, right? So you have J.I. and you also have Jalen Suggs, both having this, you know, awakening on the offensive end of the ball. Like, again, Jalen Suggs is shooting it really well from three-point line. Now J.I. is doing the same. So if you can have the two of them on the court at the same time, you know, creating chaos on the defensive end, but also hit the open three on the other side, it's crazy. Again, that would be a crazy development for our team heading into the playoffs. But to your point, we need those other guys to also contribute. You cannot have J.I. play amazing all of a sudden, but then Wendell disappear all of a sudden. Like, that cannot happen. We need them both to be healthy at the same time and also playing well at the same time. But yeah, to your point, J.I. was amazing to see. He seemed to be locked in. If you've never seen J.I. play before or knew that he was hurt all these years, you would have thought, wait, this guy is like a KD 2.0. Like, he looked incredible that game, hitting turnaround, mid-range, three-pointers, going to the basket. He was incredible that night.
Yeah, you know what's frustrating? Oh, yeah, sorry, can I just jump in on J.I.? Like, you know what's frustrating? Like, you know, he missed basically three full seasons recovering from ACL and all sorts of injuries, right? And this year he's played 50 games. He's had some of those games missed have just been injury management, not because he was injured, but just, hey, let's not play you on back-to-backs. You know, maybe we're not going to play you four games if there are four and, you know, seven nights type thing, or three and four nights type thing. there's just been some load management. He also had like a sickness that kept him out for a few games, and he did have some nagging little injuries here and there that has definitely kept him out of some play this season. But he's played the second most games of his career so far at 50 games. And it's like, he's so good now. Imagine if he was actually healthy those 3 years and got to continue to develop and grow, how much better of a already amazing defender that he already is. It's just like a little frustrating there, but it's also really encouraging that he's played this many games. He's going into the playoffs healthy so far. We could be looking at another healthy offseason for him, which would be incredible because he hasn't had a full healthy offseason in ages. I think after his sophomore year was the first time he had a full healthy offseason. All the other, even last year, it was mostly healthy. He was still like ending, recovering from that minor surgery he had cleaning up some stuff at the very end of the season. So I'm just really encouraged by Jonathan Isaac's play so far. The amount that he's played so far, the fact that he's probably going to be playing good minutes in the playoffs, and we hope going into the offseason injury-free.
Yeah, because we know what he can bring defensively. It's just we've been waiting for that offensive lift because he definitely likes to shoot those corner three-point shots. And, man, yeah, if he can hit those consistently, then you're talking about an added firepower from the bench that we desperately, desperately need. Now, the Magic ended up facing against the Golden State Warriors, and that game, 101-93 loss. This was a game that, obviously, the Magic needed to be able to hold on to that fourth seed, and then they're obviously playing for a play-in spot, battling against, you know, the Houston Rockets. So this was a game that was really important for them as well. Draymond Green ends up getting ejected in the very first few minutes of that game. And it kind of seemed as if this was a really good opportunity for, you know, the Magic to take advantage of that specific circumstance. And the fact that, hey, if I would have told you Draymond Green gets ejected, Steph Curry is going to struggle from the three-point line, you would feel really, really good about our chances, and it just didn't fall our way. Al, first off, you were in attendance of that game. How ridiculous was the Golden State Warrior fan base in attendance?
So I'll be honest, it wasn't any worse than when the Lakers come to town, the Knicks come to town. It was about the same, right? I think what made it unique is the fact that Steph is Steph. He's, you know, people are really a fan of him more than they are of the Warriors. Let's be honest. That's my situation. So when he does anything on the court, he crosses you over, he hits a three, it's like you're playing in Golden State. And that's kind of how it felt last night. To make matters worse, and Twitter went crazy after this, was the fact that he hit the dagger against us, right? And again, it is what it is. He did the whole night-night celebration. He goes and kicks a chair at the end. I think that had nothing to do with the Magic, by the way. I think that had everything to do with how pissed he was at Draymond Green for getting ejected. Because one thing you mentioned was Draymond missed the game. Steph struggled, but also Kuminga didn't play. So that's right. If you were to tell me that, again, the Magic are fully healthy, 3 days off, in my mind, I never felt like we were going to lose that game. Well, once we came back in the fourth quarter, I'm like, oh, we got them. Here we go. And we unfortunately couldn't put it away. By the way, I love Paolo. That pull-up three with a minute left in the game when we were finally making a run, and we headed down to two, not the shot that we needed to take in that situation. And then that was followed by Steph layup and a Steph three. Game over. So Magic fans were super pissed at Steph for, again, the celebration and all this. At the end of the day, man, we got to be mad at ourselves. We lost that game. We should have definitely won that game. No doubt about it. They had no bigs, really. Wendell played extremely soft against a rookie that was playing for the Warriors at the center position. We just didn't have it last night. We couldn't hit. We missed 10 free throws. We shot below 30% from three-point lane. So it was a bad game all around from us. So all I would say is, instead of looking at what Steph did or didn't do or whatever happened with the Warriors, let's look internally, man. That was a game that we should have won, and unfortunately, we did not show up for it. So it sucks because Cleveland lost, Philly lost, someone else lost, Indiana lost. So had we won that game, we would have gained ground in their standings. Instead, thankfully, every team remained the same.
It's frustrating because, like, you know, we know Paolo is one of the league's best clutch time scorers, and we've seen him close games really well, but we've also seen a lot of moments, not a lot, we've seen enough moments throughout the season so far where he does settle for just that early pull-up three in the shot clock, you know, where there's still 16, 17 seconds left in the shot clock very early and just not making the right decision. Like, yes, Paulo, you can shoot a three and you've made them. You're doing much better with your shot this year, but that's also not your game and not your best strength. Like, pass it to someone else, get into the post, you know, use your size and skill, or just drive from the wing to create some contact. You know, particularly in these late game situations, you know, you kind of need him to settle for the three at the end of a shot clock, not at the beginning. So it's just like, yep. You hope that after the game, coach pulled him aside, or, you know, today, or, you know, on the 28th, after the day after the game, when they're watching film, you know, they specifically call that moment out as a learning opportunity for him. And, you know, we hope we see those types of moments less and less in the next couple of seasons, because that's really frustrating. And again, I got to remember, he's in his second year, but it's like, come on, dude, what are you doing here?
Yeah, and it's not just Paolo. I think from a team perspective, we shouldn't rely on the three-point ball unless we absolutely need to. We can point at the Sacramento Kings game as the exact same thing. With the game, you know, towards the final seconds, Magic had almost two, three opportunities to be able, especially with Jonathan Isaac. Jonathan Isaac caught a rebound and you know, passed the ball to an open Franz Wagner, who shot the three-point ball, and he was wide open. Maybe that was the right pass, maybe not, but the way that I see it is that we've struggled all year long with the three-point ball, that in my opinion the only one that should be taking that shot is you can make the argument for Jalen Suggs, not from a clutch standpoint, but just from, you know, a probability of him making that shot, you know, above 40%, or maybe you can even argue at Cole Anthony, who had the hot hand. So you talk about all these different things where at the when the game is on the line, is it a player's decision making is the issue, or is it coach most? Like, where is the dialogue that says that unless we absolutely need to shoot that 3-point ball, why isn't Paolo, who is very good at drawing the foul, not taking it to the basket with his 6'10", 250-pound frame? Like, why is he not driving with the game on the line and still a good amount of time to, you know, go get a basket? Like, I'm at a point where I would rather risk an offensive foul than us shooting the 3-point ball with more than enough time on the clock, just because I feel efficiently we have a better chance at scoring the ball that way than we do from shooting behind the 3-point line.
Yeah, and it's one thing, like Steven mentioned, it's one thing to shoot the ball wide open than it is to, you know, force a shot over a defender. And to your point, that Paolo shot seemed rushed. Defender was right there for him. And really, in the last 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes of the game, we never went back to Cole, who was the one that brought us back in the game. So it's like, wait, what happened here? So in that stance, I would say, hey, Coach Mosley, you got the game down to two. Call a timeout. Regroup. Go to the hot hand, if anything. If Paolo cannot get it to the basket, go back to Cole. But at the end of the day, man, two tough losses. We got three more games in this homestand, so we got time to bounce back, hopefully, tonight against the Clippers. And then two, what's supposed to be easy games coming up, right? We got Grizzlies, Portland on Monday. So it should get better for us, but we got to bounce back because, unfortunately, our final 10 games on paper, we'll talk about it later, are not very easy. So we got to grind out any win that we can right now, because the last thing we want is to fall out of the top six. Like, that should be a nightmare scenario for us at this point.
Yeah, and then kind of pushing along, Gary Harris, who has been struggling with his injuries, missed the last two games. We lose the last two games. He's definitely a person that you can point at and say he's one of our best three-point shooters on the team. How much does he, or a quality, reliable shooting guard, would mean to this team? And this is kind of us thinking a little bit more forward ahead, but, you know, Jalen Suggs, who is somebody that, you know, we were relying at that two guard spot that we kind of move to play the point guard position for us. Gary Harris, somebody that we were relying on to hold that down with Jalen Suggs. But how much missing him does that impact, you know, our team right now?
Man, I think it's pretty big, because, like, one, you know, he's a respected shooter. Whether he's shooting it at his normal rate this year or not, I don't have his what he's shooting off the top of my head, or pulled up on the computer right now. But you know, he's respected by other teams' defenses, so he's drawing out defenders, which creating more space for our guys. And then, you know, the other thing is he's just got a more developed IQ with this game. He knows where to be defensively. He knows where to be offensively. He's not as communicative as like a Joe Ingles, but he does talk on the floor. You can just rely on him to make minimal mistakes, and you need that on a young team, because like when you're replacing him with a Caleb Houston, you know, or then like you're just allowing more opportunity for mistakes with a guy who's so young in the league, or when you're, you know, replacing him with a Markelle Fultz, bring him in from the second unit. Markelle, high IQ player, but he just totally changes the way they play offensively, because he, you know, they just crowd the paint when Markelle Fultz is on the floor offensively. You know, and then he's just off, he's a little bit more ball dominant than a player like Gary Harris. So it's just like, it's just a different feel and a different flow that I don't think the guys are used to right now, because they've been playing so well with that Jalen Suggs, Gary Harris backcourt. It's just, yeah, it's really just kind of messing up the flow right now. So like, we really need Gary's foot to get healthy and get ready for these last few, this last stretch of games going into the playoffs. Like, we want that chemistry. So, Ant-Man, we're missing him. They are missing him really hard. Al, what you think, man?
Yeah, so to your point, he's shooting what? Almost 38% from the three-point range, and that's all you need, right? You need that threat out there. As much as I like Caleb Houston, as much as I like, you know, whoever they're putting in place of him, it's not the same. Like, you as a defender know that, hey, if I take a step too much into the paint and leave him open, he's probably going to make that shot. So you have to stay with him. And to your point, Stephen, that opens up the floor for Franz, for Paolo, for Wendell, for everyone on the court. We haven't lost the last 5-6 games with him in the starting lineup. So to answer your question, Anthony, I think it should be goal number one for us heading into the offseason, whether you bring him back or whether you sign a different shooting guard. But I think that's one of the major needs for this team going forward, is you had to find a shooter, but also a shooter that is reliable and healthy. Because again, I love what Gary Harris brings, but unfortunately he's going to miss, you know, 40 games a season. And you cannot have that when you're trying to compete, make the playoffs, and be a competitive team. So I'm rooting for him to get back. Thankfully, he is not on the injury report for tonight's game against the Clippers, so he should be back. But we need him to stay healthy the rest of the season and also into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, he's already missed close to 30 games this season. He's missed a total of 26. And I think for me, it looks good that when you had the disco background, that
Yeah, sorry. Good, you good, see, if you're watching plan. Us on YouTube, party. We're all like cheesing disco background for a second.
It is good to see that he's not in the injury report, because if he was, that would be a little concerning, just because you want to be able to tie up, you know, your starting five going towards this postseason. You want to be able to have that continuity to where everything is really established, and he's somebody that is a threat. You see Gary Harris, you know, open in the corner, you're going to have to respect it. You're going to have to play defense. It's what, you know, stretches the floor a little bit. So we definitely need him out there, because the Magic, let's be honest, man, we need all the help shooting that we can get. And he's definitely, you know, one of the better players that can shoot the three-point ball. So we need him healthy. Glad that he's not on the injury report. I blame these last two games on Gary Harris due to his injury. It's his fault. That's the reason why we lost.
Facts.
When it comes to the struggles of Wendell Carter and Markelle Fultz, the struggles continue, man. And obviously Wendell has played better than Markelle Fultz since they both returned from injury. But these are just not the same guys that we had last season. Let's be honest, sir. Their level of play have not been what we were expecting. It's taking them a lot longer for them to get reacclimated, in my opinion. Markelle Fultz got the nod for the start against the Warriors that I believe was a good decision. You got two, you know, 6'4 guards out there that can defend, and one of them can really shoot the ball well. The other one still obviously struggles, but you know, it seems like it's an ongoing thing now this season where, you know, you really don't have a whole lot of trust in what Markelle is able to do out there. So I'll give it to you, man. Has it been frustrating for you to watch, you know, kind of how Markel's season has been so far, or do you still feel like there's still a little time for him to kind of, you know, at least get some of that glimpse back from last season?
I mean, being realistic, man, I don't think there is a way that we'll see the Markel of last year this season, right? We got 10 games left, playoffs around the corner. We've kept waiting for him to kind of turn the corner all season long. It was the knee, you want to call it the shoulder, whatever it may be. We've talked about this at length in this podcast, the last few episodes. The shot is just not there, man. The confidence in the shot is not there. We see him hitting threes in practice and in warmups, so he can hit them. The problem is when he gets on the court, it's back to being mental again. And I feel so bad. I've said it before, contract year, the last thing you want to see is this happening to him. Props to the Magic, though, man. They're trying to do him a favor, which is to put him on the court. So that way, if he hits free agency, there'll be offers for him, I guess. But at this point, man, we're trying to win games. And it's rough, man. When you see Paolo, you know, trying to pass the ball to someone, and he sees, oh, Markel's in the corner, and he turns the other way. It's like, nope, I can't go that way. Or when you know as a defender, they're going to throw 2 to 3 bodies to Paolo because Markel's in the court at that moment. And really quickly on Wendell, all I'm going to say, man, is box out and dunk the ball. He is a big dude, man. Like, you, there's no way you're going to be trying to... He keeps trying to do this like little finger rolls around the basket when I'm like, why can't you just go and dunk the ball? That would add at least 6 points a game for him if he was just to finish strong inside. That's what I'm going to say. I keep waiting for him to, again, same thing, turn around and find his rhythm. But at this point, I feel a lot more comfortable seeing Mo Wagner, Goga at times, and J.I. playing the five. So it's unfortunate, but these are two guys that we put a lot of emphasis in saying these are cornerstones of the point guard and center position. And all of a sudden, here we are in a playoff year thinking, let's not play them as much. It's crazy to think how 10 months, 11 months have changed the narrative from these guys.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, the Magic needs something a little more solid, man. I think that, you know, Wendell, we've even played him out of position a little bit. I think he, you know, we've talked about this all season long. They feels more comfortable playing the power forward than he does the center position. But unfortunately, that position is taken. If he wants, he's going to have to be off the bench. And I think that a lot of the kind of planning with Jonathan Isaac at the five, you know, there's a world where you can put Wendell and Jonathan Isaac out there, you know, together. And God forbid if something were to happen to Paolo, knock on wood, but, you know, that's an avenue that, you know, the Magic could explore. But, man, I don't know what needs to happen, but these are two guys that we relied on for this season, before the season started, that we said in order for us to be successful, it needs to start, obviously, with Paolo and Franz, but those are the next two guys. And, you know, this is before we knew what Jalen Suggs was capable of doing this season, and he's kind of held on to that mantle a bit. But, you know, you're hoping that at least Markel off the bench, you're defensively, if that can just be something that he hangs his hat on and kind of use that as his core, his mental focus, I think that will help us out at least at, you know, towards the back end of the season, the last few games that we have left in the postseason. Offensively, we don't expect anything. If he's open, we don't want him to shoot it. Like, we just can't rely on those things right now. So defensively is where I hope that, you know, he can bring in, you know, the most support. Now let's talk about seeding, man. So right now the Orlando Magic are holding the fifth spot in the East. New York Knicks, they ended up rising to the third seed, Cleveland dropping a little bit. So as of right now, if the playoffs were to start, we'll be looking at the... Who are we playing?
Technically, right, I think we'd be playing Cavs. Cleveland.
Yeah, it would be Cleveland.
The Knicks and the Cavs have 44 wins. They're both tied. The separation right now is... the Cavs have played one more game than the Knicks in the loss column. Knicks have 29 losses. 28, and the Cavs have 29. And, man, they're both tough teams. You know, I just want to jump in here for a second and just be like, we've gotten our asses kicked by Cleveland multiple times this season, except for like I think one game we beat them the last time we played them. And then New York, we played them really well at the start of the year when they were banged up. But then when we play like a playoff atmosphere game the last time, it just like the Magic got their butts handed to them. And so, you know, I have some thoughts, but I think it is very much up for debate. Like if the Magic stay in the fifth seed and we end up playing one of them in the four or five, like which one is the better fit? I think I just want to bring up this and I'll pass it up too. Crowd wise, I want to play Cleveland all day. I don't want Knicks fans in the arena in Kia Center, you know, filling up, taking up seats, because you know that's going to happen because New Yorkers love to move to Orlando. But I don't know how many people from Cleveland are moving into Orlando. Like, you're definitely going to have some people come down for the matchup because there's diehards of every fan base that will travel a little bit. But it ain't going to be the same. So I think atmosphere-wise, I'd much rather play the Cavs. Al, what do you think as far as matchup-wise? Like, what? I don't know. What do you think, man? What are your thoughts on all this?
I mean, we talked about it briefly on Twitter yesterday, me and Anthony, and then we've talked about it since we saw each other on Monday. And we've been debating this. I know Anthony's answer already what it's going to be, so I'll let him say it. But to me, it's Cleveland, man. I fear the Knicks, honestly, after the trade deadline. They added so much shooting off the bench. That scares me. Now, mind you, the Cavs also have great shooting off the bench. They have a great shooting team in general. I just like the inexperience of the Cavs a little more. I like the fact that we went 2-2 against them in the regular season, but when we lost against them, it was really bad. So I don't know what to believe. Are we good against them? Are we not? We'll find out in the playoffs if we play them. But to your point, I want Kia Center to be a home court advantage to us. I don't want it to be a 50-50 crowd. To a young team, that can do a lot, right? So if our young team feels that fan base, that the arena's shaking, that's going to help them play better, believe it or not. Jalen Suggs pumping up the crowd, game three, game four, whatever it may be, it's going to be electric. Whereas if it's the other way around and you got the Let's Go Knicks chance going on in the third quarter because they're going on a run and we're up by one, that may go the other way around. You know, so my honest take is on this, I would rather see the Cavs. I would love to see us have home court advantage. We still got time to make that happen. Let's see what happens there. But if not, worst case scenario, I would love to see Indiana. That would be like my dream matchup because Indiana is the opposite of us. They're a great offensive team. They cannot defend at all. Their fans will not travel here. So that'll be like my dream scenario. I don't think it happens. But as of right now, Cavs would be my go-to like matchup. My dream scenario, Indiana would be the one. What about you, Anthony? What do you got there?
Bring me the Knickerbockers, like now. Like the Knicks, they're the team that I want. And I have a couple reasons behind this. So, yeah, you're right. There's not going to be any Cavs jerseys in the arena. And if there are, they're going to be very sporadic, right? There's little placements here and there. Same thing with the Indiana Pacers. We know because we've seen that the Knicks in Orlando is just a city that there's a bunch of New Yorkers. We know that it will feel like a home court advantage. And the Knicks players, they know this. They've talked about this, right? That they travel well with Orlando. I think it's not about this season. The postseason, this season is about experience. And the Magic are not going to win the finals this year. Can we make it out of the first round? Yeah, that's a great possibility, right? Can we make it out of the second? Who knows? We've seen crazier things. One, I like our matchup with the Knicks. Like I like the idea of Jalen Brunson and Jalen Suggs. I like the idea of Julius Randle and Paolo Banchero. Like I like the idea of that because Paolo Banchero was even. Hold on one second. What's going on with my video? Are we good?
You're back.
Okay, I'm back. I like the idea of Paolo Banchero and Julius Randle just because Paolo Banchero was given, you know, player comps to Julius Randle. So I would love to see that battle. But I think that if we want the New York Knicks chance to stop at our home, what better way to shut up that fan base than to beat them in the postseason? Like, I think that's one way that you stop it and you begin that culture. The next thing is the experience that this young team would have playing in the Mecca, I think would be crazy experience in the first round. Like the Orlando Magic playing in Madison Square Garden for a postseason. We've heard the way that that arena explodes. Like I remember watching them play against the Hawks and watching that game on TV, and it sounded completely different than any of the other playoff games that I've watched. It's just louder. It's the Knicks. And they're not all that healthy. They're getting back Mitchell Robinson now. He's coming back from his injury. But Julius Randle has gone through some injury issues. Jalen Brunson, they made some trades to bolster up their roster as well. But I want the Knicks, man. I think that out of all the teams, that would be their best level of experience. Because in my opinion, it's not about this season. It's not even about next season, man. We're talking about the next four, five, six seasons where, we look at the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics, and that's where I foresee this team being in the next few years.
Well, so, I mean, you bring up some. Sorry, go ahead, Al.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
You bring up some good points with the Knicks too. I mean, like, Cavs are getting healthier. I think Donovan Mitchell's coming back today.
Yep,
questionable. In their matchup. Yep, and if it's not today, it'll be in the next game or so. Where, I think the question is still out with OG Anunoby if he's going to be back. He's still missing time with his elbow. I'm pretty sure Randall's still out. So it's like, granted, Brunson is playing like he's going out of his mind right now. And they do have the more experienced team, but yeah, I don't know, man. I go back and forth. I think to potentially win, I think Cleveland is the better matchup for us. But I also think, like, development wise, playing in hostile territory, at home and away, and also maybe taking advantage of some injuries, like, then you're right. The Knicks are a good team to go for. So I don't know. Just wanted to throw those thoughts out there because they are banged up. And earlier in the season, I always say I want to win versus the best of every team. But now I don't care. I just want them to win regardless of who's injured or not.
Yeah, OG struggling with the elbow. He's expected to be back on the 31st. Okay. And then Julius Randle, he has a shoulder issue. He's expected to be back by April 5th. So they'll have their whole team by the postseason. But how long could they be healthy? And then this is kind of the way that I see it also. The Knicks are always going to be the Knicks. Like there's just something about the Knicks that they always find ways to be the Knicks. Like they're the Knicks, right? They haven't been relevant in a very, very long time. Even when they made the postseason before, they found ways to be the Knicks. And at the very least, I can rely on that. Donovan Mitchell, I know he's had his hiccups in the postseason, but Donovan Mitchell, in my opinion, I'm more afraid of Donovan Mitchell than I am Jalen Brunson. At the end of the day, I just am. As, I don't want to see Donovan Mitchell.
So I'll tell you what, the one reason why I want to see the Knicks, if anything, is because we will be on ESPN, TNT, playing those games. Like, it'll be national TV.
Yep.
If we play the Cavs, we're going to be NBA TV the entire, postseason, whatever, fair. First round. So that's the only thing why. But if they are going to be healthy, man, the Knicks are going to be a tough team. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league. So is Cleveland, by the way. So no matter who we play out of those two, it's going to be a defensive matchup, us against them. But offensively, like I said, they're both really good teams too. So I don't know. It comes down to ultimately, give me top six. That's what I want to see. I want to see us, be in the playoffs locked in. I don't want to see us play in the play-in. And with that being said, I know our next segment here is going to be talking about the schedules that are coming up for not only us, but our opponents around us. And one thing that is scary is, so Philadelphia, Miami, and Indiana are the teams that are trying to catch us, right, in the standings for the sixth seed and jump us. Philly and Miami have two of the easiest schedules remaining in their final games. Philly has 9 games left. Miami has 10 games left. Indiana has the 12th easiest schedule, just about one spot harder than us at the moment. So more than anything, I really don't care much about the top teams, meaning New York and Cleveland. I care more about those teams below us, Miami and Philly in particular, having such an easy schedule with 10 games left approximately for both and catching up to us. And that's why I think we have to really win some of these games in the final 10. ideally we go 7-3, ideally we go 8-2, and truly take it out of, you know, any possibility of them catching up to us. Because if we go, I don't know, 4-6, 5-5, I'm afraid Miami may go on a little run here and catch up to us, or Philly may. So that's my biggest concern, to be honest, when it comes to the standings right now. 10 games left, it'll fly by, but I definitely want to see us in the top six.
Yeah, and to put it into perspective a bit, the Heat got the Rockets, Hawks, Raptors, Pacers, Mavs, and then the Raptors again, and Blazers, and also the Knicks. So, yeah, man, especially towards the end of the season where you know that the Mavs, they're going to make sure that they keep Luka and especially Kyrie Irving as healthy as possible for the postseason. Same with the Indiana Pacers. They really could string up a good amount of win games in the win column.
Well, and two, like, once we get past this home stretch with the Clippers, the Grizzlies, and the Trailblazers, our schedule gets a little bit tougher, you know, just as far as logistics. They go on the road for two games versus the Pelicans and the Hornets. The Pelicans are a tough team. The Hornets should be easy. They just announced on Thursday that LaMelo Ball is out for the rest of the season. Then we have a home game with the Bulls, so that's one home game. And then they go back on the road for a three-game road trip versus the Rockets that are playing extremely well right now, versus the Bucks, versus who potentially might still be jockeying for playoff position at that point. Maybe not, but potentially will be. 76ers are definitely going to be trying to play well in that last game. And then, you know, we get our second home game versus the Bucks. So really, there's only five more home games left. We play the out of the last 10, we have five more home games. But three out of those five are the next three. Then we only have two more home games. So it's really important that we play well these next three home games, and then we take care of business on the road, particularly versus teams like the Pelicans and the Rockets and the Bulls. You know, and then you kind of got to hope that those last couple of games with the Bucks, that maybe there's enough separation in the standings where they're going to rest, you know, Giannis and Middleton a little bit, and they're not playing full games or something like that. You know, I don't know, but you gotta, I want all the leverage I can get right now for this Magic team.
Yeah. I think in particular, the Bucks, I think that final home game, the 14th of April, that again, Giannis has already played more than 65 games. So he has his awards locked up. Ideally, they have the two seed locked up, so that may be a game where they just come and rest against Orlando. So again, if we need a bad win to close out the season, that may be a good game for us. So you never know. Again, the final stretch, things can happen. Look at yesterday. You had Charlotte beat Cleveland. You know, that was like unexpected. So you never know. It could be a wacky final 10 games, but it's for sure better to be doing what we're doing now, watching the standings, than it is to be, you know, spinning Tankathon and seeing where we're going to be landing in the lottery. Mm-hmm. So times have changed, guys.
We've had fun episodes doing that now. Don't discredit that. Well, when you look at the games ahead, Clippers, Grizzlies, Blazers, Pelicans, Hornets, Bulls, Rockets, Bucks, Sixers, Bucks, the Magic, 42 wins in the season. Can the Magic get to 50, realistically? If you were a betting man, your next paycheck, your next work paycheck, you got to pay the light bill, you got to pay the mortgage. Would you put your money down and say the Magic would get the 50 wins?
I'm betting on the under.
Me too. I'm going to go, we finish the season 6-4, and I'm going to go that we win 48 games. That's where we end up.
Yeah, that feels pretty good to me too.
But I mean, this you're talking about, you know, the goal in the beginning. You and I, we've had this conversation. We've talked about this. The goal in the beginning of the season was just to make the play-in. That's it. Magic, we clinch a play-in berth. We have the 11th easiest schedule with 10 games left. Successful season, right?
Absolutely.
100%. I would rate the season an A+, honestly. I mean, to your point, the goal was to finish, you know, 8th, 7th in the East, best case scenario, win maybe 42, 43 games. We're there with 10 games left. So I think, so again, that, any way you slice it, it's been a great season.
Then, Steven, I'll ask this to you. Because ultimately, our expectations have changed, right? What in your mind would be considered a not successful way to end the season? Like, Magic make it to the postseason. What would you consider failure? Because, again, we went we went from you know, playing to now we're expecting to make the playoffs. But what would make it unsuccessful?
Honestly, unsuccessful, getting swept in four games, or, you know, winning the first and getting swept the remaining four games, and then the game's not being competitive, right? Getting blown out, kind of looking like that New York Knicks game that we just recently played in New York. Like, if we show up and we look like that, where, you know, we don't even belong, like, I want the Magic team to look like they belong, regardless if we win no games or, you know, make it a 7-game series and make it to the second round. Like, they need to look like they belong, play competitive basketball. If they don't look competitive, you know, and they get blown out and swept, or douchebag swept, like, that's going to be a disappointment. I want them to be a tough out, regardless of how long they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, what about you, Al?
Same thing. I'm going to just say, if we get spanked, you know, 2 out of 4 games, let's say, God forbid, we get swept. And swept means 2 of those were 20-plus point losses. That, to me, is a huge disappointment. I expect us to win at least 1 game in the first round, whoever we play. If we have home court advantage, then that changes. I expect 2 wins at the very least. But to your point, Steven, I think the biggest thing for us is every game's going to be within 10 points. It's going to be competitive. Heading into the fourth, the crowd's going to be locked in, thinking that we have a chance. Again, the last thing you want is play at home 2 playoff games, let's say, or 3, knowing that you're down 17, 18, 19 points heading into the fourth quarter. Like, nobody wants that. And I want to see us at least play some national TV games. I don't want us to just throw us on NBA TV for the entire first round. So as long as we do that, I think we'll be good.
Yeah, I've mentioned this to you plenty of times, Al. The postseason is going to be the number one marketing tool that we have. Players need to feel like they're the missing piece to be able to, you know, take us to the next level. And I think that the way you do that is going to be, you know, being competitive in the first round. The Magic can lose all 4. We can get swept, but we can't get swept in a way where we get our ass beat every single game. It just can't happen. The Magic got to be in the game. We got to be able to perform. We got to be able to be fun to watch. Like, to me, all these little things, they matter. And for the Magic being one of the better teams in the NBA, you know, protecting home court, you're expecting for the Magic to really do work here at home. And I really, really hope that if it's the Pacers, if it's the Cavs, if it's the New York Knicks, that, you know, the home crowd is, you know, they take advantage and really show up and remember that, you know, how hard it is to make it into the playoffs. Like, the Magic have gone way too many seasons since Dwight, you know, not getting into the postseason. So as much fun as it was seeing DJ Augustine hit that, you know, dagger game one against Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors, that wasn't enough, right? We want more than that. And, you know, we're at a point where soon enough we're going to find out, man. It's going to be exciting. You know, a very, very small amount of games left. I can't believe the season's already almost over. And what a ride, man. This season has been a lot of ups, a lot of downs, a lot of in-betweens. And postseason is really within our grasp. Playoffs with home court advantage is within our grasp. So we'll see what ends up happening with these other teams. So just to kind of take a look at the week ahead, tonight against the LA Clippers, Saturday against the Grizzlies, Monday against Portland, Wednesday against New Orleans. You know, New Orleans they're itching to get back at us after, you know, that real competitive game that we had with them here at the Kia Center. What are your predictions, Al?
I'm going to go simple this week. I'm going to go 3-1. I'm going to say that we beat the Clippers. I'm going to say that we beat Portland and the Grizzlies. So we end the homestand with 3 wins. And then, unfortunately, the Pelicans get us on the road. So I think 3-1 for me.
Steven?
You know, we were talking with some folks before we recorded, and they said when your show and my show come together for one show, that it would bring some really good luck to the Magic roster. So I'm going 4-0. We're going to close out strong in Kia Center, and we're going to hit the road hard, punch the Pelicans in the face. and hopefully not nosedive on our way to Charlotte.
Yeah, I got 4-0. Also, I think that we're a little upset that we lost against the Kings the way we lost. I think we're upset that we lost against the Warriors. We're going 4-0.
Being optimistic, baby. I like your style, Ant. Let's go. Yeah, Al, have you changed your mind after hearing what we said?
I decided to be negative, man.
I'm going to say this. It's
bad juju.
If we go 4-0, then we hit 50 wins this year. That's what I will change my answer on.
Yeah,
so,
but will you put your paycheck on it, though?
No, I will put, though.
Put your facial hair?
Shave the beard.
Shave the beard or just do a mustache?
If we hit 50 wins, I'll shave. How about that?
I like it.
You got to go to the postseason games with a mustache on.
I got it. If we hit 50 wins, I got it.
Mustache on. There you go. I love it. I love it.
All right. Good episode, guys. Close Up Magic, Steven. Appreciate you joining us this week. Show is presented by Bet Online. Catch you guys next week.
For all the latest Magic news and updates, visit OrlandoMagicHQ.com and follow us on Instagram at OrlandoMagicHQ and on Twitter at OMagicHQ. Also, remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel and subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite listening platform.